of the Lord. I'm just telling you, it's just good to be here. I don't know about you, but it's just every morning you wake up, it's just great to wake up and see a brand new day. To know that God has blessed us one more time. You know, if we're still standing, but I'm going to ask you to do something because I've been communicating with my friends who live in Texas and Louisiana and my family the last few days. I'm just going to actually take a few minutes and say a special prayer for them. And not only for them, but for the whole country, that God would move and God would touch them and keep them and protect them. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, there is no God besides you. You alone are He, O Heavenly Father, that created everything, O Heavenly Lord. Lord, we come this morning into this sanctuary, Father. I know for where we are, the sun is shining, Father. But in some parts of this country today, Father, there is rain falling, Father. But let them know, Father, just as you are the God of the sun, you are the God of the rain, O Heavenly Father. There is nothing too hard for you, O Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you to reach down wherever they are today and touch them and let them know that you are still God, that you are still on the throne, that you've got all things in the palms of your hand, Father. Give them peace in the middle of the storm, Father. Now, Lord, we lift up your name. We say thank you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It's just good one more time to be here. I want to look at a passage. Really, I want to start with one verse in particular. And I know I have to give you a title. The title comes from one verse. You don't have to stand, but it's an entire story. From Luke chapter 24, and I want to read verse number 17. Luke 24 and verse 17. Here is the setting. It's after Jesus' death, burial, and the resurrection. There are two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes along and he asks them a question. He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? In other words, he wants to know to them, why are you sad? Why are you sad? I want to look at this story because I think it's more than a story of just about a walk through Emmaus. But when you look at it, it's really a talk about us on our walk through life. Here is the setting, and we know the setting very well. It begins in chapter 24 upon the first day of the week. That early in the morning they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and sudden saw the others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. In other words, when they got there, Jesus was fulfilling the promise that he had made. The promise that he made. But here, after the story goes, these disciples leave. And it says, behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. In other words, they're walking, when you calculate it, 7.5 miles. The story, the greatest story, has taken place, and they've decided that Jesus did not fulfill the promise. As they're walking down the road, let me tell you what the real issue is when I made a note. They are walking in the present, living in the past, and can't see the future. Understand what I'm saying this morning. They were walking in the present. They were living in the past, but they could not see the future. Understand something this morning. You always have to be able to see the future. They're walking down the road, and it's interesting, and they talk together of all these things which had happened. Here is something interesting. It's two of them together, and it's good that two of them are together because, listen to me, as we go through this life, the Bible tells us no man is an island. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. So it's nice that they're walking together, but guess what they are doing? The story says, as they walked together, they talked of all the things which had happened. Where are they? They are walking this away towards the manners, but they're talking about things that were in the past. What had happened? You've got to get to a point in your life that what happened in the past is in the past. Listen to me. It's in the past. You cannot change one thing in your life that happened in the past. So they're on the road, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The second part of this story, they're talking about what happens. They're walking down the road, and Jesus shows up. It's interesting in our lives, Jesus knows where we are, even when we don't know where we are. Because sometimes we don't know whether we're up or down. We don't know whether we're coming or going. We don't know whether we're having a good day or a bad day. But Jesus knew exactly where they are. I'm telling somebody today, I don't understand the circumstances of your life, but I want you to know one thing this morning. Jesus understands and knows where you are. Oh, hallelujah. So he comes alongside of them. It's interesting. And it says, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They were not physically blind. They were spiritually blind. He comes along, and they don't even realize who it is. Let me tell you something. There are a bunch of things out there in the world, but you've got to be able to tune your ears in to know when the master calls. When the master comes alongside, you've got to be able to recognize him. So he comes along, and it's interesting that he comes up alongside them. And it says, and one of them whose name was Cleopas, and answered and said to him, are thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass during these days? Jesus has posed a question to him. He asked him, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They could not even recognize the voice. Interesting that they could not recognize the voice. You know, you get in your vehicle, you turn the radio on, there are so many channels now you can't even figure out which one to stop and listen to. You ever realize that? You're going, man, I got the satellite radio, I got all these channels. But you know what? There really isn't but one channel in your life that's important. That's the only channel that's important. That's the channel of Jesus Christ is on. That's the voice you'll listen to. Because there are a lot of voices out there right now that will lead you astray. I'm trying to tell you, it will lead you astray. We live in America right now, but America has got its own struggles. I'm going to say something this morning because I can say it. And Pastor, correct me later on. Right now in the United States, we got a huge discussion about statues. You may sit here and act like we don't want to talk about statues, but we got statues. We got Civil War statues that we got people arguing and killing each other over. But let me address that issue. When you look at that first picture, you would think in your own mind that this is really a racial issue. But when you look at it, it is not about that. You see young people out there tearing up stuff, on tearing up statues and fighting about, number one, they had nothing to do with that statue when it started out. It is not about the statue. It is about the spirit that's moving through the country right now. It's about the spirit that's moving through the world right now. I'm telling you that this morning. Number two, you can have those statues, but I'm going to tell you one thing about those statues. They are just statues. You can call them idols, but you can do whatever you want to. But the Bible also gave us an example. It says, they got eyes, but they can't see. They got ears, but they can't hear. They got a mouth, but they can't talk. I'm telling you, they are just idols. And number three, every time I see somebody carrying on about one of them, I say, let me tell you something. My grandmother was pretty smart. Because you'd always say, it's not them dead people you got to worry about, but them living people. I'm telling you today, you got to get to a point that you understand where we're standing in society. The devil is awful busy out there right now. But I'm here today to tell you, he can stay busy because my God is greater. My God is greater. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the communication they got, they're walking along the road. They are sad. I'm here today to tell you the Bible always reminds us you can walk together, but we are to encourage one another. We got to get to the point that we say, yeah, we may be having a bad day, but I can tell you today there have been more good days in your life than there have been bad days in your life. You can't say anything bad about God because God is a good God. I'm here today to tell you. So they're walking along. They're talking about what took place. But they're still living in the past. They're living in the past. And Jesus comes up. He says something interesting. He says, what things? Like he doesn't know what's going on. What things? Y'all guys, tell me. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. Let me tell you something. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed out in the world, and received up into glory. That's who he is. They're saying, this is what he was, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Listen in verse 19 and 20. They still living in the past. In verse 19, they said, he was. Jesus says, I am. He says, I am. I am. Jesus doesn't live in the past. He doesn't live in the future. He's right now. He's right now. He's the right now God. Whatever you came in here with today, he can take care of right now if you're willing to trust him. They went on in verse 20, they said, and how they delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Still in the past. Still living in the past. They're walking in the present. But the whole thought process is behind them. You got to get to the point sometime where you leave it. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. At least they got one thing right. It's today. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week, not 6 weeks from now. But now they begin to say, but today is the third day. And yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not the body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. He was alive. What is wrong with the two disciples? They are in the Mully Grub. I don't know if you've ever been in the Mully Grub. I call it the Mully Grub, where life has kind of beat you up a little bit. Life has kind of got you all beat up, tied up in a knot, and you don't know what to do. Now, if you haven't been there, I can tell you, you haven't lived long enough. I'm telling you that. You sitting in a chair, you don't know what to do. I'll admit, I've been there. I've been there. When everything you trusted in just fell apart and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to start. You don't know what to do. These disciples didn't know what to do. They trusted in him, and now all of a sudden, he's not there. But I can tell you this morning, when you can't feel that he's there, you continue to trust him. Because sometimes you can't feel it. It would be nice if I could walk around on cloud nine all the time, but I can't live on cloud nine. Sometimes I got to live down in the valley. Sometimes you got to get into the valley. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's the God of the valley, just like he's the God of the mountaintop. Oh, hallelujah. He's still God. Oh, he's still God. They're in the valley, but they don't understand that God is met them in the valley. They didn't have to come out of the valley to meet him. He came down into the valley. I call it one of them days when your emotions are way low. Their emotions were way low. They begin to tell the story. But it's interesting what begins to take place. Jesus doesn't start beating them up. He looks at them and said, verse 25, he calls them, he says, old fools, but really says slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Really, he actually said, listen, you're sad because you don't believe. You're sad because you don't believe. We get sad because we get beat up by the things of the world. Jesus reminds us, he says, in this lifetime, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. In other words, in your life, the rain going to fall. The rain going to fall in your life. And you need to understand something. When the rain starts to fall, he's still God of the rain. He's still God of the rain. So now all of a sudden, he says, out night Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory. See, here is the paradox. They are stuck in the past thinking his death, burial, and the resurrection is something to be sad about. I'm here today to tell you, it's not something to be sad about. It's something to get happy about. It's time to stop walking around shuffling our feet and begin to jump in joy and say, hey, he got up. He got up. I'm telling you this morning, he got up. That's the part you got to get excited about. He got up. In other words, to the two disciples, the story was not done yet. This morning, I'm telling somebody, no matter where you are, the story isn't done yet. You got to get to the point that you understand the story is not done yet. There's a Jesus that will come walking into your life. He'll ease up on the side of you and talk to you. Oh, I'm here to tell somebody. You got to understand. Hallelujah. 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 It wasn't done yet. He began at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Give me that verse. Give me verse 27. Let me know when you get it. There's one word. Look at the last word in there. He said, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded upon them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He said, listen, let me tell you about me. He said, why did he come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through him. There is no other way. He came to pay the price. He came to pay the price. Do you understand that? One of the things that I want you to understand, when he looked around, he says, you know what? Birds have nests. Foxes have holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You ever read that verse? When you read that verse, the first thing you do is you get kind of sad about it. Because you're saying, well, Lord, the birds have a nest, the fox have a hole, but you have nowhere to lay your head. But that is actually not a negative statement. That is actually a positive statement. Jesus understood why he came. He says, I must be about my Father's work. What was he doing? He said, listen, I don't have time to get entangled with them things over there. I ain't got time to worry about the bird's nest. I ain't got time to worry about the fox got a hole. I just got to do what my Father has came, brought me here to do. In other words, Jesus came to do what he came to do. What happens to us in everyday life, you realize the more things we have, the more we get bogged down. But he wasn't getting bogged down with anything. He said, listen, I must be about my Father's work. As we live in the last days, we got to be about our Father's work. He said he came to seek and to save. We got to seek and to save. You got to understand why he came. He didn't look at the cross as something to be ashamed of. The cross is not something to be ashamed of. As a child of God, he paid the price on Calvary. Remember, the rulers didn't nail him to the cross. He went to the cross voluntarily. He went to the cross voluntarily for me and for you. So now, the two disciples, he's talking to them. And all of a sudden, they get to the city. It says in verse 20, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. In other words, Jesus said, I'll keep walking. Guess what happened next? And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. You know what that verse is really saying? You have to invite him in to your heart on this walk through life. You have to invite him in. Bible says, behold, he stands at the door and knock. He stands at the door and knock. And any man hear me? He says, if you will open, he said, he will come in and suck with you. Jesus was going to go on, but they walked. You know, in the old days, you used to sing that song that we sing, while others thou calling, do not pass me by. Y'all ever heard that song? That's what we need to be saying. Lord, while you calling other people, while you blessing them, don't pass me by. I like blind Bartimaeus because I always liked him because he was blind and on the side of the road. Everybody else was there. But blind Bartimaeus knew Jesus was coming by. And blind Bartimaeus called out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, everybody else that in good health didn't need anything. They say, blind Bartimaeus, you need to shut up. That's what they were trying to do. You're disturbing the master. But blind, the Bible says, the more they told me to shut up, the louder blind Bartimaeus got. I'm telling you today, when you get desperate for God, you start, because y'all leave me alone right now because I need something. I need something. Oh, hallelujah. But all of a sudden, they constrained him to come in. The Bible says, and it came to pass as he set at meat with them. He took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave to them. And it says, and their eyes were open. Their spiritual eyes were open. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Just one encounter with him will change your life. Just one encounter with the master will change your life. I'm going to prove you, he changed their life. The Bible says, and our eyes were open, and he said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us? Hebrews 12 and 29 say what? He is a consuming fire. Why is it burning on the inside of him? Because Jesus is burning in the inside. Jeremiah 20 and 9 said what? He said, it's like a fire shut up in my bone. I'm here today to tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, something happens on the inside. What was dead starts to come back to life. How you felt when you were sad, all of a sudden you begin to stand up, you bow up and you look up and say, it's going to be all right. I'm telling you today, they felt something on the inside. You cannot come into church and worship God and leave here and say, I didn't feel anything inside. If you didn't feel anything, you didn't reach out to get anything. Because I can tell you, God can meet everybody's needs in here and then some. He says, what? I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. He didn't say just a little sprinkle. We looking for a sprinkle. He wants to give you a downpour today. He wants to flood your life with so many blessings. But you are the one that constrains him. So now, the disciples, they're sitting there. Their eyes are open. They're not a hard burn while we talk with us. By the way, and when he opened it to us, the scripture, it's interesting. When they read, he was speaking the scripture to them, something happened on the inside. And they rose up the same hour. Listen to this. They rose up the same hour. There are two things about that story. It didn't even say they finished eating. Does it? It didn't say they finished eating. Something greater happened along the line. See, when Jesus comes along, whatever you were doing, you put it down. Because you understand something. It's more important. Remember the story of Mary and Martha. The Bible says Martha was busy about many things. He says, but Mary chose the wiser things. Understand something. If you really want him, he's right there. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now they take the 7.5-mile walk back. Now think of that. You don't walk 7.5 miles one way. You're tired. You're hungry. You're thirsty. But the master shows up and you forget about all that. The Bible says they roll up the same hour. Now they walk back. But I'm telling you today, they rose up and they went back. They didn't go back sad and shuffling their feet. I'm thinking they're halfway jumping, they're halfway running, they're halfway walking. Wait till we get there. Wait till we tell somebody what just happened to us. I'm here today to tell you, you are a witness that need to tell somebody how good God's been to you in your life. You didn't say, I used to be like that, but I don't live like that anymore. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become new. They got some pep in their step. They get some pep in their step. So the Bible says they go back the same hour and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. So they get back and they're trying to witness and tell their story. Give me verse 36. They are trying to tell their story, and look what happens. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, it's interesting that as they spake, he showed up to confirm. Let me tell you something. On your everyday walk, when you're out there witnessing somebody, he shows up. He shows up. All you got to do is start telling somebody the story. It is amazing how he shows up. But he shows up. You got to understand something. But you cannot continue to live in the past. What do you gain by living in the past? It's not what you gain, what you lose. Do you remember, do you realize every moment you spend today focusing on the past, there's time that you don't have to use today for the future. Think about what I just told you. When you're sitting there rehashing everything that happened in the past, that moment that you're wasting right now cannot change the past, but it sure can help you in the future. People tell you all the time, hindsight is 20/20. Hindsight is never 20/20. It's never 20/20. Let me tell you why. Because when you look back on your life, you try and make an assumption. You make the assumption that the other road that you made, the other decision, is better than the one you made now. You always make that assumption. You don't have any data to make that decision. And let me answer the question for you. How could it be better? If you in church today, you've been repented, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you've received the Holy Ghost, that other road can't be better than the road you're on. I don't care how good you tell me that other road is. I can tell you there's nothing better on a Sunday morning than to be in the service of the Lord. There is nothing better this morning than to be in the house of God. There's nothing better this morning than to be surrounded by my brothers and sisters of the Lord. I can tell you, I don't have to worry about that other road. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm here today to tell you, don't worry about the other road. Don't worry about the other road. You just realize that he got up. Not only did he get up, he said, all power. All power. All power. He didn't say some power, a little bit of power. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you realize whatever you need, he can supply? I'm here today to tell you, as you stand as I come to a close, the road to Emmaus is really not about the road to Emmaus. It's about the road in your life. Do you realize that? Where you started from and where you end up. Along that road, you're going to have some ups and downs. You're going to have what I call good moments and bad moments. You've never had a bad day. You may have had some difficult moments in that day, but it was never a bad day. How could anything the Lord made be bad? He looked at, as he created the first day, and he said, what? It is good. It is good. How can I call it something bad that God called good? It's not a bad day, folks. You never have a bad day. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day to live for the Lord. As I close, you may think you're having a bad day, but let me give you the answer to the bad day. From Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas found themselves in prison one night. And the Bible says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang hymns and praises. Understand something. They're not living in the mully grub. They prayed. Then they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. Here's the response that came. Give me verse 26. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Why did something happen? Because they prayed. Then they got up and they praised. And interesting, it says, and suddenly. It didn't say tomorrow. It didn't say next week. It said suddenly. The other word that's important there, and it says immediately. Immediately. I'm telling you today, if you need something for God, it can happen suddenly, and it can happen immediately. You can leave here changed. Shall we pray as we close? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, God, this is your day. We thank you for allowing us to be part of it, Father. In our frail flesh, we've come, Father, lifting up the only name that we know how, Father. For you said, if you be lifted up from the earth, you would draw all men unto you, Father. Father, you've been so good to us. You've watched over us through another week. You've kept us. You've brought us back, Father. Father, we ask you to go with us now, Father, as we prepare for the afternoon service, Father. Let us give you praise and glory and honor. And we know that you got up, Father. Because you live, we can face tomorrow, Father. Because you live, we can worship you. Because you live, we can trust you, Father. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.